Hey, you've just come across Lisa Beats Your Meat, episode one. It's a pretty sweet vegan podcast. This is not episode one yet. This is just kind of a prologue. We just wanted to kind of cut into this episode before it starts because we have a lot of new listeners and they seem to be going back and starting with episode one, which is awesome. But just wanted to warn, I'm Jimmy and Lisa. We do this podcast. But these first few, like the first four episodes, we recorded on an iPhone with a tiny lapel mic clipped to a beer can. So the show has evolved a lot since then. The audio has improved greatly, which you'll see if you keep listening. The topics have gotten a lot more in-depth, and we've had some cool guests. We've interviewed Moby and some good authors like Nathan Runkel and Joel Fuhrman. But we really hope you enjoy it. Just wanted to kind of give you a heads up that these first few episodes are lacking in sound quality. But hopefully you like the show and you keep listening. They're not in any order, so you can jump to 30 or 20 or whatever episode you want, and there's no context needed there. Follow us, subscribe to us. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to Lisa Beats Your Meat podcast edition. Tonight I'm sitting here with my husband, Jimmy. We're going to start our night off with something that's always vegan, a shot of Jack Daniels to kick off our podcast. So Jimmy, please cheers with me.
Cheers.
Take it down the hatch. Okay.
It's been a while. Not a common occurrence.
Ooh, I usually sip my whiskey, not take it down in shots. I think it's the warm that gets me. Like, if I was doing a cold shot of whiskey, it's much easier.
It's easy. Well, try that next time.
Yeah, I guess we'll try it cold on episode two. Some precursors here. One, our three-month-old baby is sitting with us. He's very well-behaved, but you might hear a squeal every once in a while. That's what that is. And my dog, Sam, is currently fighting flies in our house, and he keeps ramming his head into our window. It's also a little jarring, so if you hear those noises, that's what that is. So tonight on this version of podcast, or whatever this is called, we're going to talk about why we became a vegan. It's a hot topic.
Yes, so this podcast is about being vegan. I guess that's our overall theme of the podcast.
Oh, it's about beating meat. I thought yes. We were very clear on that.
Well, that's the title. And if you came here for
another reason?
If you navigated here under other pretexts, it will be about being a vegan, but also
about beating meat.
Some level.
The point is, I love to beat meat. And let's talk about when and why I started to want to beat meat. That joke's been overused. All right. So we are a vegan family, quasi-vegan family. I have been a vegan for many years. I started off as a vegetarian from a very young age.
What's many?
Many. I've been a vegetarian for 21 years.
How old are you? Do you want to share that?
Yeah. I feel like I have a voice of a 25-year-old.
Yes.
No, I'm 32, and I became a vegetarian when I was in the fifth grade. Is that 30? Or that's 21 years. You're 11, and now I'm 32, so that's 21 years, right?
Sounds, yes.
Yeah, I'm no math teacher.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. It was a little weird being a, such a young person who said they were a vegetarian. When I was in the sixth grade and I told people I was a vegetarian, they were like, I don't know what that even means for you. So I'll talk about that. But I've been a vegetarian and a vegan for much longer. Jimmy is new to the game. We have a new baby. He is not a vegan because he's currently still nursing. I don't know if you'd consider that vegan. We're going to talk about...
I think that's vegan.
Well, but it's in... I mean, like, that's the definition of...
animal protein he's getting every day.
He's eating dairy. His body is currently producing lactase to deal with my lactose that I'm giving to them. That would
fall under the classification of dairy?
That's human dairy.
Human dairy, okay.
It's human dairy. So he's not a vegan.
He's only had human dairy, though.
He's only had human dairy. And some sugar water that they gave to him at the hospital.
Also vegan.
Didn't ask me if I was cool with that. And that weird medicine he got at the doctor's. But anyhow, we'll talk about this later, but he will be raised vegan. He'll be given the option of whatever he wants when he has the ability to buy his own food. But if I'm paying for his food, he will be getting vegan food. We also, there's another child here. It's Jimmy's son, James. He's 8 years old. He's my stepson. He is a real struggle, and we'll talk about that with eating, because he's a very picky eater, which most children are. But we would like him to do as much vegan as he can. He's like lactose intolerant, and he really could use to not eat the dairy.
We'll have a conversation about kids, but in general, with a newborn, we don't know what it's going to be like. We've never experienced it.
But on some extent, since I was a vegetarian at such a young age. Yes. Like, I know that stigma.
Have you ever met anyone that was from birth a vegan?
No. Didn't do that. That was...
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the same. It's kind of new territory. So you listen to the show for the next 18 years. Yeah. You'll see how that pans out.
Great. Jack is kicking in, so I'm going to start talking about why I became a vegan.
Okay.
So again, I'm going to go first and then Jimmy's going to go second because my story's not as cool as his or not impactful as much as his.
She's a regular old vegan. Like I'm stereotypical.
Stereotypical vegan, semi-hippie.
Tree-hugging.
Yes. I love trees. I, don't want the world to die. I like to recycle and, that's me. So I became a vegetarian, like I said, in the fifth grade, and it was solely because my mom was a vegetarian and I wanted to be like mommy. And that same bit, she was paying for my food. So if she was paying for my food, I was going to be eating vegetarian. Was not difficult from a dietary aspect to eat vegetarian as a child because children don't usually eat. It's not hard to feed a child a vegetarian diet. They eat chicken nuggets and pizzas and very processed foods.
Mac and cheese.
Right. And to make that into vegetarian wasn't really difficult. I became a vegan after, I dabbled with being a vegan in high school. And I would go into it and then I would get out of it, which is why I understand that Bless you. That it's really hard for people to stick with it because me being such a diehard vegan now, that came with trials and tribulations of not being a vegan. So high school started in and out. College, I dabbled, but when you're in college and you get drunk a lot, it's really hard to eat very correctly. And then I think maybe the year after I got out of college, I did it and stuck with it. Stuck with it until, what's that thing where Amish people do when they go off?
Oh.
Ask our media, team right now.
Like a hiatus?
Yeah, where you go see if you really want to be Amish.
Amish take year off.
I had a Rumspringa.
Wow.
I had a 6 months Rumspringa. I ate chicken. But I still didn't do the dairy because I knew that that stuff was nasty.
Yes.
But after my Rumspringa was over, I went back to my roots and I was a vegan and I've been vegan except I was doing some muscles because, quick note, they don't have a nervous system. Therefore, they don't feel pain. I have to research what the impact of eating muscles is on an environment standpoint. But just to be honest, I ate some mussels like a couple days ago. Anyways, so
oh, man.
Why I became vegan, like I said, I became vegetarian because my mother was and I just wanted to be like her. But she also backed it up with a lot of knowledge. My mom is crazy animal lady, typical.
Yeah, once you were on your own, why did you maintain this veganism?
Guilt. proposed
like
by my mother.
Like shame to your mother? Like you didn't want to let her down?
Yes. Oh, God. If my mother knew that I did this rum spring a bit, she would be crushed.
Yeah, but when I met you, you weren't eating vegan because your mother.
No. So it progressed from there. So she sent me off into the world, and I was a little vegan, was not a little vegan. Once I decided to stick with my vegan lifestyle, it was because I come from a place of, you know, the animals. So, meat-wise, I didn't want to eat an animal. That's really bizarre and disgusting to me. And then for dairy, factory farming, which is where we get all of our dairy products from. You're kidding yourself if you think that your organic or cage-free animals or dairy products are coming from cute little farms down the street. They're not. The factory farming industry is the most horrendous, horrific thing you could even imagine. And being an animal lover, looking at this, I couldn't even consider ingesting any sort of that thing, regardless of how good it tasted. You know, my my morals kind of outweighed my taste buds, not to offend anyone. It's kind of nice being able to talk into a microphone about this instead of a person, because most people get, I'm not trying to tell you what you're doing is wrong, but what you're eating is wrong. And it's, I find it, you know, I'm not cool with it.
But you've always been sensitive to other people, including me.
Yes.
Before I was a vegan.
Yeah. And we'll talk more in depth about this, but one of Jimmy's biggest issues with him becoming a vegan was I knew all this. I knew all, you know, the secrets of the health aspect and the environmental aspect and then the cruelty aspect. And not that he cares so much about the cruelty aspect, but he was very, you were kind of pissed that I didn't tell you all this. But it's because vegans are, no one wants to hear about being a vegan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'd, that's why we started this podcast.
Unless you're listening to a podcast of talking about being vegan.
In general, we feel like we're, you know, a mix of both the stereotypical vegan and then myself, who's far from that. But I think neither of us really walk that line of
the annoying, you know, my name's Lisa, I'm a vegan.
Yeah, the 10-year ago vegan that still carries that stigma.
But that was me. So long and short, I am a vegan for twofold. One is because I love the animals. I don't want to eat them and I don't want to hurt them. Factory farming hurts them tremendously. And I don't want to support that whatsoever. Second fold, can you bring me the rosé?
Yes.
Thanks. Sorry. Rosé also, not a dairy product. You can eat that all day. Although there's some people that say that some beers and wines are refined using fish bones. I believe this wine has not been refined with fish bones, but for those diehards.
It was like $4?
No, it was on sale, but it was like originally like $13. Anyways, the other aspect of me being a vegan is the health aspect. I'm very much into being healthy. It's, you know, the backbone of who I am. I strive every day to eat the foods that I need to. And a vegan lifestyle, you cannot argue to me that it's not the best diet you can have. And that's where Jimmy comes in, because Jimmy's reason why he's a vegan is way more, applicable than mine of I just like animals. So, Jimmy, if you want to take it away.
Yeah, I guess I can tell my story while you tend to our son. Yeah, I'm not the traditional vegan. I'm 36. I'm only 2 years into this, I believe.
Yep, since October.
Yes. Yeah, October will be 2 years. So, yeah, only a year and a half, I guess. So, I guess a little bit of background. I met Lisa several years ago. And
9 years ago.
Yes. Weird. It's been a while. Not to offend you, but I would consider her being a vegan one of her only faults.
When you met me?
Yes.
Shut up.
I don't know. I always thought of it being
people said that to me. Like, honest to God. Like, I met a guy in college that was like, I date you, but you're a vegan.
Yeah.
Like, you wish you could date this.
I mean, I had another good friend that was a vegetarian. And I always thought that was just, I mean, now I do look down on vegetarians. Sorry if you're a vegetarian. Go
you're
all the way.
You're just half-assing it.
You're actually dabbling in the worst of the two.
Yeah, you're getting
in a choice between a chicken or a cheeseburger. Sorry, cheeseburger. A hamburger or a cheeseburger. I would pick a hamburger. But anyways, yeah, you're the typical vegan, which, well, you weren't, though. You didn't pitch it. But my stereotype of a vegan was someone, usually a girl, but a lot of times a guy, who went to college.
A liberal college.
And in college decided it was cool and trendy to be a vegan. And then kind of rode that horse for a while.
Can I explain to you? In the fifth grade, it was not trendy to be a vegetarian. No one thought it was cool. Everyone was like, what does that mean? Is that a special religion?
You might have been a little ahead of the curve.
But I get it.
I dated a girl in college who is pretty much the story I just explained. I have no idea. I haven't seen her in a decade if she still is a vegetarian or vegan. But my perspective, my stereotype was that this was just a trendy, cool thing to do. And when people grow up, they realize it's pointless and it's not healthy. That was the other stereotype, that it's not healthy. So I guess that leads to where I am. I started dating you, Lisa. And
it was a whirlwind romance.
Oh, yes.
We could have a podcast 72.
If you can get to that. Oh, man. I guess it all began. So, I mean, I said earlier that Lisa's very sensitive to, not sensitive, but she played the game.
I didn't bombard people with my veganism.
Not at all.
Because growing up as a fifth grade vegetarian, I think I maybe tried to tell people what I was and why I felt the way I did. And I got nothing but vitreous hate from people. No one wants to hear, you know, their eating habits are wrong, especially when it's contrary to our American cultural stereotype.
I remember Lisa and I are both teachers. We worked together. We met through our profession. But our son is named Bob, and he's smiling at me while milk drips down from his face.
Dairy.
So anyways, we'll get to the point here. I met Lisa. We started dating. Actually, before we were dating, we both were concerned with health. I worked out a lot, was trying to get in shape. And for me, that was 5 eggs for breakfast. That was dry chicken for lunch with maybe mustard or hot sauce on it. No carbs whatsoever. Five eggs, yes. And then for dinner, you know, a balanced, you know, dinner of vegetables and grains, but the meat always being the main part of it. It was low carb, low sugar, tons of protein, and I did physically get in good shape. I looked like I was in good shape. The best I've ever looked was when I was just eating chicken breasts and eggs every day. But I remember having a conversation with Lisa about this, and she said, well, look at this book. Look at this idea. And she always knew what she was talking about. But I never, for a second, had any interest in it.
No one takes me seriously. I think it's the voice or the look.
No, I think, like you said it earlier, you didn't really try to justify it because your justification was the animal thing. And that was never going to work for me. Yeah. No offense to the animal lovers out there. I'm not one. I'm sorry. I don't cry for animals. I'm not sad about what happens to animals. The only thing that deters me from what happens on a factory farm is just the disgustingness of it. The fact that there's fecal matter and blood and awful things getting into your food. The actual animal, I don't know. We can get into that.
The hormones or the antibiotics that are pumped into them.
And we'll talk about that.
Cover up all of their diseases.
Yeah, like I honest to God, the animal thing is not part of why I'm a vegan at all. And that'll be a whole maybe discussion that we have at some point. But anyways, I loved Lisa. She's a good cook, but she would make me meat. She would cook me chicken. She would make me chili with sausage in it. But one day I was sitting on my couch one morning, a bit hungover, I'll admit, and flipped on Netflix and I saw something that said Cowspiracy, which if you're a vegan and you found this podcast, you don't actually know us. It's exciting, first and foremost, but you've probably heard of Cowspiracy. I hadn't. I just saw cow, and then I saw Spiracy, and I know that Lisa loves cows.
It's my favorite.
And she's a vegan, so I thought, I looked at the description, and I was like, oh, this might be about being a vegan.
He was still trying to woo me at that time.
Yes, long gone.
He's like, let me find some facts on cows.
Yes, something like that. Or maybe it's a video about how being a vegan's a conspiracy, and it's bullshit. Excuse my French. But no, it's quite the opposite. It was 2 hours of me sitting there and completely being convinced not to eat meat, which is, it takes a lot for me to be convinced of anything.
His mind was blown.
I would say it was a good documentary on many levels.
I was
levels.
Getting texts out the ass of like, oh my God, do you know what they do? And I did know what they did.
Well, it wasn't really about what they do. That documentary in particular is about the environment, which I'm also not a big environmentalist. I won't really get into my politics, but I'm a traditional, you know, conservative. I'm not. I love my earth. I love my environment. And to see what animal agriculture has done to it, I had no idea that that was going on. But the conspiracy part of it is what got me hooked. I'm a government teacher. I know there's a lot of shady things that happen in our government. And again, this will be a whole topic that we talk about later. But what goes on to convince the populace of this country that what they're eating is proper and healthy is insane. And that's what got me intrigued. But anyways, I was dating
injustice.
I'm dating a vegan, so why not try it? So I decided I'll try a week of not eating meat or dairy. And Lisa obviously jumped on that and provided me with delicious meals as she always has. And
I beat his meat all week long. It was like 5 days full of meat beating.
My family's gonna be the first person to listen to this.
I'm so sorry. It's such a good joke.
But speaking of family, that's where we get into the stereotypes. And this will also be a topic. This is our first episode. So we're thinking of a lot of things that we'll spend a lot of time discussing and hopefully get some feedback. But this happened in October. So driving home to New York, we live in Ohio. My family's from New York. I'm driving home to New York for a Thanksgiving supper, which involves turkey, obviously. And Lisa sent me with some good food to keep me fed. But
I am a really good cook. We can talk about that later.
Yeah,
not to toot
good.
My own horn, but like top notch over here.
Yeah, she's got an Instagram. You can look that up too.
It's called Lisa
Beach. Yeah, guess what it's called. But one thing she didn't arm me with, which I wish she had, and she did later on, was the justification for being a vegan. And that's something that I think anyone who is a vegan or is considering it or just wants to be healthier has to struggle with, is how do you deal with the cultural predispositions concerning meat? I mean, meat is a cultural thing, especially on Thanksgiving. So it was an 8-hour drive. So I just Googled, you know, what's a good audiobook to listen to that defends veganism. And what I came across was the China Study, which also, if you're a vegan, you've probably heard of this, and we'll talk about that also. It was a very in-depth study that scientifically proves and justifies what... I feel like my story is way longer than your story.
Yeah,
I should, I can cut
going.
This down a lot.
It's much better.
That, you know, justifies that a plant-based diet is the way to go. And then... all this comes full circle. 4 years ago, my father died of a heart attack. It was his first heart attack, and it was immediate.
It was his only heart attack.
Yeah, he died instantly. And obviously, that would make anyone want to consider their health and what they can do to make sure that doesn't happen again, especially if it's someone in your family, because we always hear these things
young,
about...
He was young, right? How old
yeah,
was
I was 58.
That's young.
Way too young. You know, a lot ahead of him. Giant family and
six sisters he's got.
Yes, I have six sisters. They're probably the only people who are listening to this.
Shout out, Murray sisters.
But that impacted me in a huge way. And while I was trying to find ways to make sure that I was heart healthy, because now I've, you know, I've apparently come across this heart issue in my family. I listened to the China Study. I've since gone back and read it, and it's really addresses mostly the disease causing aspects of consuming animal protein.
Is that, I need to brush up on my trying to study, but is that mostly meat or is that dairy?
It's got a whole dairy section and a meat section. The casein.
Yeah, casein morphine.
Yes. Yeah. So it really begins with just animal protein in general. Gets into the dairy pretty early on with some studies. But really, and we're going to talk about this again too, so I keep saying that. But heart disease, cancer is pretty much what kills everyone in this country.
Yep.
And that is on the
that or currently heroin, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that too. And this is all increasing.
So
for the first time.
Dying of heroin, cancer, or heart
vegan.
Disease.
Yes. Heroin probably is vegan, but I'm not going to recommend that.
I tried it. I'm just kidding.
No,
I totally didn't.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. Well, way to lose my train of thought.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The disease prevention that is being proven over and over again from giving up animal protein is shocking to me. Shocking. If I had known these things a long time ago. We joked about this a little while ago, but as I'm reading these books and watching these documentaries and discovering all this stuff and bringing it up to Lisa, she's like, oh yeah, yeah, I knew that. You didn't know that, blah, 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 blah. And she knew all this stuff, but I don't know.
Secretly actually smart as a fox.
Yeah, like a devout religious person that's afraid to, you know, spread their ideas because of what society thinks.
Yeah.
I guess
society just beat me down.
Yeah, but I don't care. I mean, especially
Jimmy
within,
likes his controversy.
I love controversy. And like I said, politically, I don't want to get into stuff. But being a more conservative, outspoken gentleman, and also a vegan, is contradictory. And I hate to say. Well, I would like to say that. Diet and health is not political, but it is. But it's less political and it's more government related. It's not. I don't feel like it's a partisan thing at all. But I do feel like our government as a whole, regardless of political party, is deep into money, and these food industries are
the meat and dairy.
Meat and dairy are
everything.
They're driving a lot of the decisions and the recommendations we get from our government. So that's the full story, I guess. If I had to say one reason I became a vegan, it's because I want to go as long as I can without getting heart disease or cancer. And I wholeheartedly, 100% of my whole core, this is why I don't keep this to myself, believe that consuming these products is bad for us. Obviously, meats that are processed and food that is processed it's also an issue, but every day new studies prove that our diet as Americans is why we are dying. For the first time in my lifetime, and anyone who's listening to this, their lifetime, the life expectancy of an American has stopped and gone backwards. And that's insane. And what has changed in America? Not much. We've gotten cleaner. We've gotten less pollution. But the biggest thing that's changed in America, yes, our food, what we eat, what we are consuming. And that's increase in...
That's another stereotype, is that people think that we're eating the same way we did 50 years ago. They think that the meats and dairies that you guys are ingesting are the same they were 50 years ago. They're not. They're not the same as they were 20 years ago or 10 years ago.
The
amount of, pesticides and hormones and antibiotics and salt content and just all these different things that are in meat and dairy in general, they're different than what they were, in the past. So when you think like, oh, well, you know, a healthy dinner of pork chops and potatoes, that's what my, you know, my grandfather ate, and he lived till he was 99. The pork chop that your grandfather was eating is so much different than the pork chop that you're eating today. 100%.
Yes. And he didn't eat it five nights a week.
No.
That's another thing. The level of consumption has increased dramatically in this country and other westernized countries.
And other not-so-westernized countries. And that's why you see that countries across Asia are getting crazy fat and crazy diseases, and it's because their diets are changing. Let food be thy medicine. I'm pretty sure Socrates. Is that who the... Yeah, Socrates. No. Who's like the doctor guy? Hippo guy. You know?
I don't know.
Definitely not Socrates.
The Hippocratic Oath guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Regardless, let food be thy medicine. And what you eat is your health. 100%.
You are what you eat.
And I will piggyback what Jimmy says about health in that... I am super confident and cocky and very confident in my eating of my diet and how I feel.
What about...
I don't get sick.
That's true, yes.
What about what?
Jack Daniels. Like, we're not perfect.
No, I'm actually not perfect at all. I get very hungover when I drink bottles and bottles of white wine. And I'm currently covered in... poison sumac. Apparently being a vegan does not repel a poisonous leaf from getting you. This whatever is on my skin has just been the most annoying thing in the world, but I don't get sick from silly stuff because my immune system is just so jacked from our diet. I was pregnant, for 9 months. I got sick one time and briefly. It wasn't even bad. It was actually, I was having a Halloween party and it was like the most sick I was. I still hosted like 30 people over at my household, so I couldn't have been that sick. I don't get sick. I went through my pregnancy, felt fine. I'm, feel fine now. I guess I'm just getting at the fact that I'm a vegan now, and besides just loving animals, the way I feel just makes me want to continue to do this.
Yeah, it's not just,
it feels like
it's not just preventing heart disease and cancer or things that are going to kill you. It's day to day.
No, we all know same
change
like.
In life.
Yeah, so. We all know what it's like to eat, a cheese pizza, and then you sit there and you're just like, ugh, like you feel it in your gut. I don't feel that way. I feel effing awesome.
And this is something that comes up often, but. I think I was a week or two into being a vegan, and I was like, I'm supposed to feel the best I ever did. And I was starting to, but I was really tired. And
I forgot.
My body was adjusting.
I forgot about the
B12. So you got to take B12. But I guess we could explain why right now. But
we could talk for hours.
Yeah, simply put, there's one thing that you can't get as a vegan, and that's B12. You can, but just the way the country and the world functions, it's something that...
You don't live in the jungle.
Yeah.
It's just easier to get it through a supplement.
It would be if you picked your own vegetables from your garden and didn't wash them and eat them, you would get your B12. But that the way we buy our produce and other products from the store just gets washed out. But anyways, I got a little bit tired after a week or two. Turned out because I wasn't getting enough B12. But it's in most multivitamins. You can take it straight up.
You say it's sublingual.
But anyways, once I did that, I was a new man. I was going to talk more about my digestive system, but I won't bore you with those details, but it cured a lot of digestive issues that I had. It greatly reduced my allergies. My skin cleared up.
His hair grew 2 inches.
Yeah, that's always been great. But anyways... I don't know. How do we want to bring this together? Let's see what we're at here. It's been 32 minutes.
32 minutes? We just chit-chat. My God. we'll close it. So if you've never listened to us before, or if your last name is Murray, the whole point of this is to talk about things that are kind of uncomfortable to talk about to people. Because no one wants to hear it. But if you're tuning in, you clearly want to hear this. And we'd love to share our information and our knowledge. I don't do this enough because I've just been trained to stay away from controversy, I guess.
This is about controversy, and it's a good platform for it. So if you have a comment, you can obviously comment on the podcast.
Call in. Email us.
We'll get to that. But if you wanted to do that, you could. If we could have an actual discussion about this, but... if there's a question you have about being a vegan, or any bit of it from a traditional vegan perspective, or from my perspective, a new just kind of health buff vegan, you can ask that question to us through a comment, email, whatnot.
Definitely. And we're here because we both actually do know a bit about this. I'm the seasoned veteran of the veganism, and Jimmy's crazy with research, so he knows a lot. I read the synopsis of the China study. He read the actual book. But we both, this is one subject that we actually really do know really well, more so than any other subject. So we'd like to pass that on because it's something that's so important to us. And if we care about you in any fashion, we'd want you to be vegan. Because we don't want you to die, and we want you to live a long, healthy life. I mean, I can't explain that, you know, I'm not doing this to say to people that because I love animals, I want you to be a vegan because I like you and want you to be around for a long period of time. And I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. So, do we close with a shot? No, we can't do that.
Well, it is the 3rd of July.
We're going to get someone calling in being like, I think you have a 3-month-old. Why are you doing shots? It was not even like it was like a half shot.
It was a sip.
Yeah.
We bought this bottle in February, so that'll tell you how much we drink whiskey. But yeah, I think we'll end with that. Hopefully you enjoyed this, and any feedback as well, welcome. And there'll be more, whether anyone's listening to us or not.
This was brought to you by our sponsor, Bunny Incorporated. They're an awesome wine company. I'm just kidding. I thought that sounded professional, but it didn't come out very professional.
All right. Well, Lisa Beats Your Meat, episode 1 has concluded. Thank you all.